Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or seeking to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and Psych Reg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as clinical psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. Welcome back, Richard. We're going to talk about temper tantrums today.
Good.
I'm always excited to hear how you respond when I do that little... today we're going to talk about whatever, and then I'm never sure exactly how you'll respond. But
you know, I did it. We were out last night. Uh-huh. No, we weren't out last night. Let me rephrase it. Dr. Bernie
had... He won't go out with me.
Dr. Bernie had a talk at a school on
right.
social media,
mm-hmm.
and I had a talk about... teenagers,
mm-hmm.
Young teenagers at a school.
At a different school.
So we were out talking about these things last night.
We're on opposite ends of the county, just about.
I was on another county.
Oh.
I had to go to Hillsborough County.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it was like I had to drive over there. Oh. But it's a good group. We talked about temper tantrums a little last night because mm-hmm. by age five,
mm-hmm.
one of the things we want to accomplish by the time our children begin kindergarten is you have to put an end to temper. There should be no more temper tantrums.
Right.
Okay. So by age four or five, children should not be having temper tantrums
yeah.
anymore. Okay.
Yeah.
They're normal.
Mm-hmm.
Most kids have them.
Right.
Okay. But and we know how to deal with them.
Right. Yeah. So this article is from WebMD,
right.
and it's entitled "Tantrum Red Flags." And so it's just, how do you know how do you know if your kids' temper tantrums are getting into the problematic range?
This is a question that most parents eventually ask,
yeah.
is how do I know when it's more than just a temper tantrum?
Right.
And it's a very good question to ask because there are some serious implications
right.
if temper tantrums continue after about, I would say, about age three
yeah.
or maybe four.
Yeah.
But if they continue and if they worsen, if they become more intense, then I think parents
right.
need to have some
yeah.
concern.
So a quick something to keep in mind. Two things. One, temper tantrums are normal,
right.
especially around the age of two or so.
Mm-hmm.
It's normal for the kids to say no. It's normal for them to stomp their feet and
cry and
do those
scream.
Kind of things. And two, we're differentiating here between the child issues and parent issues. There are things that parents can do that would sustain a temper tantrum beyond the age of three or four.
Exactly.
That doesn't necessarily mean there's a problem with the kid. It means there's a problem with the parent. And so that's a different issue. That's not what we're talking about in this podcast, right?
Right. Because children at the age of two or three or even four, they have a limited ability to get their needs met.
Right.
I mean, they don't use language well yet. I mean, they can talk, obviously, but they can't make a logical, cogent, coherent argument, so they're not going to talk their way.
Right.
So they have this limited range of abilities. So they use what's available.
Right.
And a temper tantrum becomes a useful way
mm-hmm.
to get their needs met. If,
right.
if you don't understand, particularly with children who have articulation disorders
right.
and you don't understand them, or they're with a babysitter or family member who doesn't understand them, finally the child gets frustrated and throws herself on the floor and begins to flip
mm-hmm.
because she's trying to get her needs met.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's a normal part of growing up.
Right.
But by age five,
mm-hmm.
we should see that disappear.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So taking those sort of caveats and keeping them in mind, some things to note.
Right.
One of the things that suggests that it may be a little bit more of a problem
mm-hmm.
is if your child's hurting him or herself.
That's right.
Biting him or herself, scratching
himself,
headbanging,
mm-hmm.
those kind of things. You know, that could be a little bit of a problem. Now, again, a lot of that still depends on how the parent responds.
That's right.
Because if the kid is upset and having a temper tantrum, a normal,
mm-hmm.
typical temper tantrum, and the child throws himself back and they hit their head on the wall, and the parent responds immediately and says, oh, let me,
mm-hmm.
You know, and gives them what they're wanting and sort of reinforces the temper tantrum, it wouldn't be surprising if the child
That's right.
starts to use that as a tool to get what
That's
they
right.
want.
If the child believes that this will get him or her what they're seeking,
right.
they're going to use it. It
right.
becomes a useful tool in my toolbox to
right.
get my needs met. we always say to parents, oh, just ignore a temper mm-hmm. tantrum. We say it almost in a nonchalant way.
Right.
But the only way you extinguish, get rid of, completely mm-hmm. get rid of temper tantrums is you don't respond.
Right.
And if the child doesn't get anything for having the tantrum, they'll stop.
Right.
But if the child is reinforced, if the child gets something, right. anything. Attention mm-hmm. or anything, then the child interprets that to mean, oh, okay, this is a tool I can use to get
right.
what things that I want to right. get my needs met.
And yes, a two-year-old can figure that out.
They can figure that one yeah. out. Yeah.
So really, when we're talking about self-injury types of things here, we're talking about injuring oneself without an audience. You know, if they're in their mm-hmm. room biting themselves and scratching mm-hmm. themselves, if you walk in and you see him biting his arm right. or stretching his leg or something, mm-hmm. then that's what we're talking about here, right? Another thing is if your child is unable to calm himself down.
Right.
And so here, you know, early in childhood, kids will use things to soothe themselves or to mm-hmm. pacify themselves, which is why we have pacifiers, right? By the time they get to be 3 or 4, they shouldn't mm-hmm. need those things anymore. They should be able to calm themselves down right. on their own. But if they're unable to, mm-hmm. we may be getting into that realm of emotional dysregulation right. or that inability to regulate and manage one's emotions.
That's right. By age 5, you mm-hmm. know, again, if you want a mile marker, by age 5, children should have the ability to calm mm-hmm. themselves, mm-hmm. to pull themselves back together. Right. Mishaps are going to happen. Kids are going to get frustrated. But they should develop the ability to calm themselves by age 5. Okay. Because remember, they're going to go to kindergarten. Uh-huh. And they're going to have this ability because there won't be a parent nearby to calm the child. So right. children have to learn how to calm themselves.
Right. Mm-hmm. Another thing that is a sign is the frequency
that's right.
of the temper tantrums. Now, it mentions here in the article, you know, 10 to 20 outbursts per month. Well, that's not even one a day. So yeah. what you really want to be thinking about is if it's happening several times throughout a single day, mm-hmm. About a variety of different right. issues, yeah. even things that you're thinking, I don't even know why we're having a tantrum right. over this thing.
That's right.
That may be a sign.
Yeah, if they're having, you know, 2 or 3, if, I would say if a child's having around 4 or 5 mm-hmm, a day, mm-hmm. that's too numerous.
Right.
Or if they're having 20 or more a month, that's too right. numerous. There shouldn't be. Now, again, we're talking about kids who are a bit
older.
Older,
right.
like 4, mm-hmm. 5, 6.
2-year-olds would have them.
2-year-olds could.
Yeah.
But it's easy to extinguish in a 2-year-old.
Right.
Okay. Because if a 2-year-old is having them and you ignore them, they're probably going to go. Right. They will probably go away. If they don't go away, then you have to right. contact somebody. But by the age of 4 or 5, more than 4 or 5 per day mm-hmm. and more than 20 per month mm-hmm. is probably too numerous.
Right.
Okay.
And the last cue or last clue, symptom, mm-hmm. behavior that we would want to look at is the duration of right. the tantrum.
Right.
And so if we're talking about very long outbursts, usually mm-hmm. more than 25 minutes or
right.
so.
Right.
And this is when the parent is doing what their parent should be doing, which is not mm-hmm. giving into it, mm-hmm. not fueling it. If it lasts for more than about 25 minutes,
right.
we're talking about a more significant problem.
Because, again, that speaks to the child can't get these emotions. They can't pull themselves back right. together.
Yeah, it relates to not the inability to calm.
Mm-hmm. Right. And this thing just takes on a life of its own. And mm-hmm. they just cannot pull themselves back right. together. That's probably cause for concern.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, when we think about why there may be concerns, why, you know, what could be causing right. these other problems if these aren't typical temper tantrums, mm-hmm. what could be, there's a slew of things. Okay. I mean, there's a lot of different things it could be. It could, mm-hmm. you know, they mention here ADHD, anxiety, learning disabilities,
that's right.
Sensory issues, autism, but we mm-hmm. could even keep going and talk about depression. You know, there's research that documents depressive-like symptoms even mm-hmm. in infants, so
right.
to think that a 3 or 4 or 5-year-old can't be depressed would be a little bit not giving right. the child credit for a little bit more sophisticated right. emotional system that they have. Yeah. So
highly anxious children,
right?
You know, there are children who are just anxious.
Yeah.
They're slow to warm. Mm-hmm. They're frightened by things, easily frightened. The kids who were approaching Halloween.
Right.
There are kids who can't handle Halloween
right.
or loud noises. So highly anxious children tend mm-hmm. to have more tantrums because
right.
they can't regulate their emotions.
Right, absolutely. So there's lots of reasons it could be happening. So if you have any of these warning signs, you know, definitely seek the support of your pediatrician or of another professional who can kind of dig in there a little bit and try to help you figure it out.
Right, right.
So,
and let's talk a little bit about if they continue, then we start to move towards some of the DSM-5 diagnoses.
Yeah.
You know, and here you and I are very, very cautious because one of the first diagnoses that's made is oppositional defiant disorder. And you and I have talked a little about this.
I hate that diagnosis.
Wait, I do too.
It doesn't tell us anything.
It doesn't tell us anything. It doesn't guide interventions.
What are you going to do?
You can't, you can't medicate oppositional defiant disorder. And it's a troublesome diagnosis. And
it's a diagnosis primed for punishment.
Right.
The only reason that you would make a diagnosis of oppositional defiant disorder is because you're saying you want to find ways to punish the child.
As soon as you say, as soon as you believe, as soon as you conclude that a child is misbehaving on purpose, is being defiant, is defying you, is disobeying you, is oppositional on purpose, you invite punishment. You automatically move toward punishment.
Right.
And that's the first thing I don't like about this diagnosis. The second thing I don't like about it is that professionals will make the diagnosis and parents think, okay, now I know what I'm dealing with.
Right.
And you don't know what you're dealing with.
There's
a whole world behind this diagnosis that you need to understand. It doesn't clarify anything.
Right.
Okay.
It's like diagnosing a cough.
Right. Oh, he has a cough. Oh, that settles everything.
I don't know what a cough is.
Right.
You know,
six children with coughs.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Or my child has a fever. Okay, great. My child has a fever, so now I know. No, you don't know what to do.
No.
Because your child might have an ear infection, or she might have meningitis.
Right.
And so the fever just is a symptom.
Right.
Find out what is causing it.
Which is the great word, because these tantrums, these outbursts, are a symptom of something.
Right.
It's not a symptom of oppositional defiant disorder. Even if you look at the diagnostic criteria of oppositional defiant disorder or the definition of conduct disorder, there's not a temper tantrum listed.
That's right.
So let's resist that urge to follow that
be careful
fruitless path.
If somebody's making that diagnosis, there are many, many other discussions that need to occur after that diagnosis is
made. Sometimes I want to say it's a lazy diagnosis. Does that mean to say?
Well, it just doesn't, it doesn't solve, it doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
I mean, we already know the child's oppositional. Okay.
Right.
And then if the child becomes a rule breaker, if the child who's oppositional becomes a rule breaker, begins to break rules at school, rules at home, or later on, when they become a teenager, if they begin to break the law, then oppositional defiant disorder changes to conduct disorder.
Right.
Okay, it's a very different kind of a problem.
Yeah.
Okay.
What are you going to? How do you deal with that?
Right.
From a psychological perspective.
Right.
Still doesn't really tell us a whole lot. It's more of a social diagnosis than it is anything else.
It's a social diagnosis. And then there's the last one is disruptive mood dysregulation disorder. So a child could be moving in that direction if they're having sustained and intense and numerous tantrums, especially if they're attacking people or breaking things.
And especially if they have that chronic irritability where they're just always sort of prickly.
Correct.
They could explode on anything. Most kids who are diagnosed with DMDD would rarely be described as happy.
Right.
You know, they're not described as happy kids. They're not described as pleasant kids. So if your kid is a happy kid, he or she just has these outbursts multiple times a day, it's probably not DMDD.
Mm-hmm.
But if they're irritable and cranky and easily agitated and just always looking for that, that diagnosis could be a possibility, but there's still some other things it could be too. Again, we mentioned autism and ADHD and some of that stuff. So
it's a diagnostic workup,
and
ODD doesn't get you very much. So
no.
Okay.
Yeah. So all right. So check out the article there. Mm-hmm. It again is from WebMD, so we put a link in the show notes so you can follow it there. Mm-hmm. All right. Until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid.